Okay, good morning, everyone. Right, sorry for the delay. Okay, this week's Parsha is Parsha's Yisro. Torah says, Zochor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. And the Gemara Dashens in Pesachim, Zachreyu Al Hayayin. So, which means that we have a mitzvah of Kiddush. We have a mitzvah of Kiddush. And the mitzvah of Kiddush, according to some poskim, you can fulfill in davening. Because you're speaking about Shabbos in the Shmoneh Esrei. But there's an added chiyuv, and it's a machlokus rishona where it's a chiyuv d'oraisa or chiyuv d'rabbanan, to do it in conjunction with wine. And that's what we do at the Shabbos table. Even though we davened already Shmoneh Esrei in shul. But now we're going to make Kiddush al hayayin. And that's a machlokus, whether that extra chiyuv is a chiyuv d'oraisa or chiyuv d'rabbanan. Zachrei al hayayin. Now, ostensibly, when you make Kiddush, really, what's the bracha? The bracha is bracha to Hashem, Kedem, Lachlam, Shek, Lashon, B'Sosa, V'Ratzavon, V'Shabbat, Kod, Shob, Ava. But we start first with the Vayichulu, so that's Tam Psukim. And then we make a Bore Priya Gofim. So, the question is, what is this Bore Priya Gofim? So the simple pshat is the Bore Priya Gofim is because since you're having a cup of wine, so then what? It's proper to drink from the wine. In other words, Rashi says in Erevin and Dav Mem, it's a ganai to a kosher bracha not to drink from it. It was really technically, we can make Kiddush just holding the cup. And then when you finish, just putting it away. Pour the wine, why, you know, I'm not in the mood to drink wine, you're not in the mood to drink wine. So just put it away. But no, it's a proper thing that a kosher bracha, you should drink from the kosher bracha. So in order to drink, you have to make a Bore Priya Gofim. Oh. Now, this Bore Priya Gofim has very interesting ramifications of the Bore Priya Gofim. So let me go back to a halacha in Hilchos Bris Mila. A couple of weeks ago, I was one of my Talmidim made a bris in Riverdale, Young Israel Riverdale, and Rabbi Willig Shul. And I hadn't seen Rabbi Willig in months and months and months because during Corona he hasn't come in. And we were trying to figure out when was the last time we saw each other. And we said the last time we saw each other was last year, Tainus Esther. That was the last time we saw each other. And then after that they closed the yeshiva and we hadn't seen each other almost a year later. And then we said, and we were at a Bris Mila that day that we saw each other. Last year, on Tainus Esther, it was a Bris Mila. And we were both there at the Bris Mila, myself, Rabbi Willig. And so then, Rabbi Willig asked me, he said, so who's going to drink from the coast? Who's going to drink from the coast? Normally at a Bris Mila, after the Mila, you have a Bar Priya Gofim, you have the Bracha Sashaki Deshi Did Mi Betin, and then you have the Kriya Sashem. So in a Tainus, who's gonna drink? Different Shitas. So I said, well, the baby will drink. And then he said to me, that's what it says in the Poskim. So what is this idea? The baby is going to drink the Koshal Bracha, meaning I made a Bore Priya Gofim. Like, I was at a bris just this week. So I made a Bore Priya Gofim, and I made the Bracha Sher Kidesh, and then I sipped, and then there's the Kriya Shem. But usually, if it's not a fast day, so the person who made the bar pir kavan is going to drink the wine. So what's this idea that the baby is going to drink? Let me ask you a question. If you make a bracha for somebody, so he can eat based on your bracha in certain situations. But if you make a bar pir kavan and you don't drink, the baby's going to drink? I would say that's a bracha levatala. How can you have the baby drink? The baby doesn't hear the bracha. The baby doesn't know what a bracha is. The baby can't be yotze with a bracha. What in the world is this idea that the baby drinks? And in fact, but this shita of the baby drinking is the shita of the Rambam. Right? But the Mechaber, Rav Yosef Karo, disagrees. And he says, you're right, the baby can't drink. Even if you give it to him, it's meaningless. You're going to make a bar pir kavan and the baby's going to drink? How does that work? It seems, what difference does it make if the baby drinks or no one drinks? Because if anyway, a person who's drinking is not somebody who hears the bracha even, who understands the bracha, or anything with the bracha, it's nothing. So what's the idea of the baby drinking? That's the question. What in the world is this idea that the baby drinks? Well, so, and then, you know, Rashi says in Erevin and Daf Mem that the reason why you have to drink from the kos of bracha, shal bracha, is because if you don't drink, says Rashi on Erevin Daf Mem, it's a ganai. It's a ganai. It's not nice. You made a bar pir kavan and you didn't drink, so it's a ganai. So frek the Rashash says the kasha in Erevin Daf Mem. What do you mean it's a ganai? It's worse than a ganai. If you make a bar pir kavan and you don't drink from the kos shal bracha, it's a bracha levatala. It's not just a ganai. It's a bracha levatala. You made a bracha and you didn't drink. But no one drank. So there is a vort that's said over in different svarim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and the Mincha Shlomo has this. Rav Moshe Brown and the Sefer Mishpat Yom. And Rav Shecht is discussing. Many people discuss in the following way. And this is what they say. This is what they say. That there are two ideas of the bracha of Bari Priya Gafen. One is that Bari Priya Gafen is a Birkas Hananin. Meaning, if I, in the middle of the week, I'm not doing a mitzvah right now, but I want to drink wine. So I make a Bari Priya Gafen, just like when I want to eat anything. It's a Birkas Hananin. Right? But then there's another concept of Bari Priya Gafen. And that is Bari Priya Gafen, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, is a Birkas HaShevach. What does that mean? Like Rav Shechter has said many times, certain mitzvahs Chazal deemed to enhance the mitzvah, one should take a Kol Shel Bracha together with the mitzvah. Whereas when you put on tefillin, like Rav Shech pointed out, you don't make a Bari Priya Gafen. Because the wine and the tefillin has nothing to do with each other. So it's not going to enhance my mitzvah of putting on tefillin to make a Bari Priya Gafen. But as Rav Shech pointed out, certain mitzvahs, Chazal deemed, and we'll have to try to understand which they, that it's an enhancement of the mitzvah if I have a kos together with the mitzvah. Take, for example, lulav. When you shake lulav, you don't take a kol shel bracha also. Because it has nothing to do with one another. But when you bench, it enhances the benching. When you have a bris milah, so we'll see, maybe it enhances the simcha of the bris milah. So certain mitzvahs, as Chazal pointed out, Chazal deemed it, that that it is an enhancement of the mitzvah to go ahead and have a kosher wine with it. And what is the purpose of the kosher bracha? It's to enhance the mitzvah. And it's and therefore we're saying, and the bracha of Bor Pi HaGafen therefore is not a birkas hanenin. The bracha of Bor Pi HaGafen is a shevach, that I'm saying to Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm mishabeach you, that you created wine in the world, that we can enhance the mitzvah with this wine. So therefore, explains Mishbrayam Rav Brown and Rav Shlomo Zalman, that even if you would make a Bor Pi HaGafen and not drink, by when you're doing it in the conjunction with a mitzvah, it would not be a bracha levatola, because the bracha is not on drinking of the wine. There are two types of Bor Pi HaGafen. There's the Bor Pi HaGafen as a birkas hanenin. That's when I'm not doing it in the conjunction with a mitzvah. That's tam, I'm drinking wine in the middle of the week. But then there's a Bor Pi HaGafen as a shevach, and then there's a Bor Pi HaGafen as a shevach to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for creating wine to enhance our mitzvah. And therefore, if I would make a Bor Pi HaGafen and not drink, it would not be what? A bracha levatola. It just, it doesn't look nice. So that's, says Rav Shlomo Zalman or Moshe Brown, the answer to Rashash's kasha. Why does Rashi say the reason why you have to drink from the kosher bracha is it'll, because if you don't, it'll be a gnai. Say worse. Say it's worse than the gnai. It's a bracha levatola. The answer is no, because that's only when I'm drinking wine as b'tor a birkas hanenin. It's time I want to drink wine. Nothing to do with a mitzvah. Then the Bor Pi HaGafen is a birkas hanenin. But when I'm drinking wine together with a kosher bracha, with a mitzvah, enhancing the mitzvah, so then that is what? That's to a bracha of shevach to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he created wine that enhances my mitzvah, and therefore the only reason I have to drink the wine is not because it'll be a bracha of la'atala if I don't, but it's just, it will be a gnai to make a Bor Pi HaGafen and not to at least drink something from the wine. Based on this, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Milcha Shlomo, Rav Moshe Brown, and Mishbrayam, and others, that according to that, it's sufficient for a tinok even to drink. Because if the Bor Pi HaGafen, in the middle of the week, I'm making a Bor Pi HaGafen, was to drink wine, nothing to do with a mitzvah, and I give it to a tinok, and I didn't drink myself, that's a bracha levatola. Because then the Bor Pi HaGafen is only a birkas hanenin. But when I'm doing it with a mitzvah, and the reason that I'm doing is to give shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created wine to enhance the mitzvah. So the only reason I have to drink is because it doesn't pasnish, it doesn't look nice that you made a bracha and you just didn't do anything with the kos. So then, if you give it to a katan, that takes away the gnai. But if but when I need the Bor Pi HaGafen b'toras wat, I'm making a Bor Pi HaGafen because I just want to drink wine, bitzad, I want to just drink wine, nothing to do with a mitzvah, then you're making it b'tor birkas hanenin, and then if you would give it to a katan, that's a meaningless thing. That, so the Ramah is mechadesh, according to these rabbanim, the Ramah is mechadesh that there are two types of Bor Pi HaGafen. It's the same words, but there's a Bor Pi HaGafen b'tor birkas hanenin, and there's a Bor Pi HaGafen b'tor birkas hashevach. The Mechaber disagrees. Rav Yosef Karo says no. There's no such thing. There's one Bor Pi HaGafen, and that is birkas hanenin. And therefore, if there's no one who could drink from the wine, sometimes they get the mother who gave birth to drink. But if there's no one to drink from the wine, then just leave out the Bor Pi HaGafen. Because it's either all or nothing. And that's the, so that was the understanding we had, that when I said to Rabbi Willig, well, and I'll give it to the cotton. So Rabbi Bilam says, yeah, that's what it says in the poskim. He's referring to this Ramah. And it's interesting. This year, Purim is going to, Bez Hashem, come out on Friday. Doesn't happen so often, but it's going to come out on Friday. So there are different practices how we do Sudas Purim. Most people do it in the morning. Not necessarily 8 o'clock in the morning, because people don't necessarily want to have meat at 8 o'clock, but they do it at 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, they have their Suda. And usually we have meat for the Suda. Someone just asked me a shaila. I didn't get back to them yet, but something to think about. They're out of town, real out of town. And in that out of town community, the school is open on Purim in the morning. So, because in some communities, if you don't open the school, the kids are not going to hear the Megillah. They're not going to, I remember as a child, I went to a from modern Orthodox day school, but I remember as a child that we had yeshiva on Sukkos, because in those days, not everyone had a sukkah, and they were afraid if you don't open up the schools on Sukkos, then the kids won't be eating in a sukkah. So so it makes sense. So this one of the rabbanim from that community, real out of town community, was asking me, usually at a Sudas Purim, we have meat at the Sudas Purim. But the question is, these kids are going to come home from school. Say they'll have school in the morning. But they're going to go home and eat lunch the way they normally do on Friday and take a pizza. So would it be better to tell them, don't have the meat, because we'll be machshel them and not, waiting the, requisite amount of time, and tell them, what do we tell them? They'll have the meat and then, or not. So that I'm still thinking through what would be the best advice to tell this Rav, who's a Talmud of mine, to tell the school how they should do it. If they're going to have school in the morning and have a Sudas Purim, and normally we do have meat at a Sudas Purim, whether we go ahead and tell them, you can tell them not to have pizza, but they might not, very often they're just going to go home and eat lunch the way they normally do. So that's something to think about. I didn't give a response yet, so I'm just throwing out the question that would it be better to say, have fish for this, for the Suda, and this way it won't be a michshol when later in the afternoon they go home and they eat what they normally eat on a Friday, namely go to the pizza store, etc. Oh, but there's another practice. Besides the practice of having the Sudas Purim in the morning, there's another practice. My neighbor, Rabbi Goldwicht Shlita, he's been in Eretz Yisrael since the beginning of COVID, and he probably is not going to be back for this. But he has the most Labor Day Purim. I live right on top of him. He lives in 4E, I live in 5E. The tzara is for the people who live in 3E, because there's a lot of noise there, it's very Labor Day. So 3E is not Pashut. I live in 5E, it's okay, he's 4E. It's all good. So it's very Labor Day there. But when Purim falls out on Friday, he does what the Gemara speaks about Poris Mapo Makadish. In other words, they start the Sudas Purim, like 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the afternoon, or before, say, Mincha Ketana, before Samach Mincha Ketana, whenever that falls in that year, so it's not a violation of having a Suda too late in the afternoon. So it depends on the year whether they turn the clock. They didn't turn the clock, but sometime in the afternoon. And then they go straight with the Suda till Shabbos. And then once Shabbos comes, they make Kiddush. They stop the meal and they make Kiddush, and then it goes right into Shabbos. And that's the Rav Shechter said that Rav Goldberg told him that that was the Minhag of Yerushalayim, I guess, in certain people. I don't know if everyone is the Minhag of Yerushalayim, but the Minhag of Yerushalayim, that a Purim falls on a Friday to be Poris Map and Makadish. It's very geschmack. You know, when he does it, it's very geschmack to have, you know, to have the Sudas Purim and then go right into Shabbos. And they daven someplace in the middle.
But then they don't say Al Nisim and Benching. Or do they say Al Nisim and Benching?
I mean, are they going to say Al Anisim? Yeah, because they follow the Tchilas Hasuda.
Oh, okay. Even though they daven Mincha.
I assume that's what they would do. I assume. I never was, you know. It seems like a steer. Maybe they'll lead another Kazayas later, you know. So, but it's so geschmack. His Sudas Purim, I'm telling you, you should come to New York just to be part. I mean, Rav Goldberg's in Eretz Israel now, so I don't think he's going to be here for another. I'll tell you a story. Baruch Hashem, my youngest son was born on Purim at night. I mean, my wife was having contractions in the middle of the Megillah, and we knew that right after the Megillah, we're going straight to the hospital. So we went straight to the hospital. My son this year, Bezer Shem, will be six. So, I mean, you're L.A. people, so you're not going to remember this. But Lemaisa, that year, Purim Day, there was a snowstorm. Purim Day, there was a snowstorm. Unless any of you came to New York for Purim that year. But it was a snowstorm Purim Day. But so at night, we went to my in-laws in the Lower East Side, and because my wife had just given birth. And then there was a snowstorm. But my son, my oldest son, said, no, we have to go back. And my wife is staying in the hospital and by her parents, whatever. But my son, Yisrael Pilcher, said, no, we have to go back to Washington Heights to be part of Rav Goldberg's Sudas Purim. We have to go back, even though in the middle of the snowstorm, he made me take him back by subway. And not to miss out on his Sudas Purim. That wasn't a year of Friday, but just to see the... that's what Rav Frank Greenblatt once told me. He heard from Rav Moshe Feinstein once said that if you want to see what Simchas Purim is about, you have to be with the Satmar Rebbe on Purim, and then you'll see what Simchas Purim is about. Okay. Well, so the question is like this. What's the din if somebody was drinking wine on Friday, and then he comes to Shabbos, and he's going to make Kiddush. So does he have to make another Bar Priyagofen? Does he have to make another Bar Priyagofen? Or do we say that that since he was drinking wine from before? Now, usually this never happens. This never happens. Who's drinking wine on Friday afternoon right before Shabbos, right? Usually doesn't happen, but it happens in this scenario. Because if you have your Sudas Purim right before Shabbos, and you're going into Shabbos, and then you're going to make Kiddush, is it? So the Yerushalmi says that you'll hold a cup of wine in your hand when you make Kiddush, but you don't have to make a Bar Priyagofen. You don't have to make a Bar Priyagofen. Why not? Because you yotzei the Bar Priyagofen when you in the Sudas Purim. So you don't have to make another one. You'll still have to hold a cup of wine. The Yerushalmi says this to answer the following question. We know there's a din of bracha smucha l'chaverta. Now normally, there's a din, we make a bracha, we start the bracha with baruch, etc. Like Shmon Esrei. We don't start the bracha, atachonen. Why don't you say bracha toshem atachonen? We don't say that. Why? Because it's smucha l'chaverta from the bracha before. Right? So all the brachas in Shmon Esrei in the middle are not posech bebarach slach lanu hashivenu because it's smuchel chaverta. So the Yerushalmi asked the kasha: how come when we have Sudas Purim? He asked the kasha like this: how come we make Kiddush? So what do we do with Kiddush? We have the psukim, then we have the Bar Priyagofen, and then what's after that? We have the Baruch HaTov, then we make the Kiddush, Baruch HaTov Hashem Elokim. So the Yerushalmi asked the Kasha, why do you have to make the Baruch by Kiddush? You just made the Baruch of Bar Pir Gofen. So if it's Smucha L'Chavrta, it's not Posech B'Baruch, just like the Baruchas in Shemon Esrei. That's the Kasha of Yerushalmi. Why is it necessary to start Kiddush? Baruch HaTov Hashem Elokim Mechulam Shekidushan B'Mitzvosov Ratzov Anu. Why? You just had Bar Pir Gofen, which is a bracha. A bracha smucha l'chavrta, you don't have to posech b'baruch. You get a kasha. That's the Yerushalmi's kasha. So the Yerushalmi answers, you know why? Because bracha smucha l'chavrta is only if it's always smucha l'chavrta. Like in Shmon Esrei. This is a series. It's always this way. It's always that way. But but Bar Pir HaGofen is always before Kiddush, so isn't it always that way also? No, because if you were made the bracha on wine on Friday afternoon or right before Shabbos, then you don't have to make another Bar Pir HaGofen. So therefore, what? It's not considered smucha l'chavrta because it's not always smucha l'chavrta. It's not always smucha l'chavrta. This is a question whether you need it always to be smucha l'chavrta because some people have a minhag that they. When they do Tfilas HaDerech, they eat something beforehand. That's the Maharam in Rutenberg. But some hold that doesn't help. Because Smucha L'Chavrta, according to Yerushalmi, is only if it's always Smucha L'Chavrta. It has to be built in the system. Like Shmon Esrei, it's always going to be like these series of brachas. But in this case, it's not. So
sometimes they tell us to say Tfilas HaDerech and Shema Kolenu at Mincha time, if you know you're traveling.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes they tell you to do that, right? But usually, because they don't want to commit to Tfilas HaDerech, you know. But Pashas is if you're traveling, you should make the bracha. They tell you to do that because maybe yes, maybe no, some people have different, Rav Abadi, he's a purist. He says, you're going from Washington Heights to Teaneck? Make Tfilas HaDerech. Most people don't do that. But he's saying, you're going Chutz Le'ir. So he's a purist. You're going Chutz Le'ir, some people would say, like you, make it in Shomei Tfila, make it here, because they have Sveikas. Rav Abadi said, no Sveikas. He's a Chiyav, you're going a certain amount, Chutz Le'ir, make it. Okay, so that's a whole discussion. But this is so. What did we talk about? We talked about the machloikas, mechaber and ramah. What to do on a fast day? What to do on a fast day with the bar pir gofen? Mechaber says, so forget it. We'll give it to the woman who just gave birth, who's not fasting. And the ramah says, no, give it to the cotton. What is the cotton? The cotton doesn't hear the bracha. It doesn't mean anything. But the Ramos Machadish, there are two types of Bar Pir Gofen. The same words, but there's a Bar Pir Gofen Betoras Birchas Anenen, and there's a Bar Pir Gofen in Betoras what? Birchas Hashavach. And this.
Are there any guidelines determining which is fitting?
But according to Mechaber, there's no such thing. It's only Birkas Hanenin. So therefore, if it's not where it doesn't work in Birkas Hanenin, then and that's what they point out. Rav Shlomo Zalman points this out, that this Mechaber Ramah by Tainis is Lishitoso from another Mechaber Ramah, because the Ramah Shita is, and this is what we do. You Ashkenazic Jews, you all do this at the Pesach Seder. How many times do you make a Bar Pir HaGofen? Four, on the four kosas. The Sfardim? No. Because what business do you have making on the second coast and the fourth coast? You made on the first coast and the third coast. And there's no big hefsek. Birkas Hamazon is a hefsek. So therefore, on the first coast you make, the second coast not, the third yes, and fourth not. And the Sfardim only make two Bar Pir HaGofens at the Seder. Ashkenazim make what? Make four. So Rav Shlomo Zalman explains, and Rav Shecht explained this based on the Ramban, that that the Ramban says you make four because each one is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. And that's as Rav Schacht explained, and then Shlomo Zalman says the same idea, that each one is a separate mitzvah. So therefore, it's not midin birkas hanenin. It's midin birkas hashavach on the mitzvah. Each kos is a different mitzvah. So b'meila, four. But the mechaber shita is there's no such thing as a bor b'yagofim b'toris mitzvah. It's only bor b'yagofim b'toris birkas hanenin. B'tor birkas hanenin, you only need to make what? The first and the third. Because that's when there's a hefsek by Birkas HaMazon. And that's the...
This question, this idea that the Birkas HaMazon is an enhancement of the mitzvah.
Yeah.
Doesn't apply to lulav, doesn't apply to certain mitzvahs.
Right.
What is the basic guideline of what's considered appropriate enhancement?
So it could be, and this is what I was going to end with, things that are maybe have to do with simcha. You know, some type of thing like that. That you know, you have a, you know, when you're eating, there's an element of simcha. When you're, you know, something like that. But tefillin has nothing to do with tefillin. Nothing to do.
With... It creates a sudas mitzvah.
Yeah, yeah. So no, it has to be a certain type of mitzvah, like wedding, right? You know, certain mitzvahs that it's connected to.
Pidyon Ben.
Yeah, we do make a Purim Pir Gafen. Is that maybe it has to do with that too? But a lot of mitzvahs we don't, right? A lot of mitzvahs, and that's the idea that we make Kol Shel Bracha at a and the Sefer Chinuch. My Talmud Rabbi Ben Skaidel always likes to point out Sefer Chinuch says because. When you do Kiddush, also you make it on a Yayin, because Yayin gives us a sorus. It puts us in a certain frame, you know. Gives us a. It's mesamach. Yayin is mesamach. So that's why, you know, my Talmud Rabbi Skaidel always points out, according to the Sefer Chinuch, you should try to get wine, not just grape juice. You know, grape juice, I don't know anyone who gets simcha out of grape juice. You get calories out of grape juice. But I don't know how much simcha you get. You know, it's a chiddush. But the word is that grape juice, but it gives you a hisorus. Let me say over one word from the Parsha about hisorus. You know, I told it to my Talmidim, I'll tell it to you now from Zarakoydish Rav Naftali of Rapshitz. He says like this: Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisro about what how all the miracles, and what does Yisro say? Myrde, Baruch Hashem, Hashem Hitzil Eschem, VeYichad Yisro. He's ecstatic. So what's the problem with that? Problem is he already knew all this. VeYishma Yisro. He heard Mashmu Hashem Obav Melchemes Amalek Kriyas Yamsov. He knew about this from before. So why only now is he saying Baruch Hashem? Why all of a sudden he's jumping for joy? So Rav Naftali of Rapshitz says, and you see this in life. I'll tell you what I see it. You know, I remember I used to go as a kid to Rav Soloveitchik's Yortzeit Shir. So Rav Soloveitchik gave this Yortzeit Shir for 4 hours. Today, anyone will tell you they're speaking for 4 hours. No one's going to show up, believe me. But he would speak, and everyone was like, mesmerized, you know, because certain people. So he says like this: when Yisro heard what happened, he heard it. Okay, very nice. But when he heard it from Moshe Rabbeinu, then he went, "Wow, Baruch Hashem, Mashiach." Some people, some tzaddikim, have the ability to give this orus, to give a special, you know, his orus to for a person. And only after he heard from Moshe Rabbeinu did he say, "Vayichad Yisro." He was mamish in seventh heaven, you know, and he was saying, "Baruch Hashem Asher Yitzil Eschem." Even though the facts he heard before, so that's the hisorus, and that's the yayin, that the yayin gives the hisorus. That certain mitzvahs Chazal felt they need that extra his soros to fit in into the character of the mitzvah. Like lulav and tefillin, they're important mitzvahs, but it's a different type of mitzvah. It's a different type of mitzvah. Certain things, it's a special level of simcha, special level of soros, and special people could give out. And Moshe Rabbeinu is one of the famous Gemara. The Gemara says that Hashem El Kecha Shol Mimach Im Liyira. Hashem says, all I ask you, Moshe Rabbeinu says, all I ask you is, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, all Hashem wants is that we should have Yiras Shamayim. So the Gemara says, is Yiras Shamayim such a small thing? All I ask you is Yiras Shamayim. So the Gemara says in Brachas Lama Gimel, yeah, in. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a small thing. But Marashah asked the question, we're not speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the people all Hashem asks. For them, it's not a small thing. So there's a vort from the Gro, the Baal Shem Tov. They say that, no, Legabe Moshe means not for Moshe. It's the, in other words, if you're living near Moshe Rabbeinu, if you're in Moshe Rabbeinu's sphere, you're in his mechitza, so to speak, then Yiras Shamayim is easier. Because when you're in such a tzaddik's presence, I remember when I went to see the Stipler, when I was a bacher in yeshiva. You walk into a room, you can't do an avera. You just the room is just full with kedusha, full with Yiras Shamayim. So then you buy the Stipler, you're Moshe Rabbeinu, then Yiras Shamayim is not a hard thing. So that's why a person has to always put himself into a sviva of Yiras Shamayim. And if he's legabe Moshe, so poshapshat means for Moshe, it's not a hard thing. But we're not talking to Moshe. Moshe's talking to the people. But it means legabe Moshe means people who are in Moshe's sphere. Legabe Moshe, milfuz isrusif. So if you're in the generation of there's a Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a Stipler, things like that, the air permeates with Yiras Shamayim. The air permeates with Yiras Shamayim. And that's the idea of the Kiddush, of the Poris Mapa, the Koshal Yayin. The Koshal Yayin puts us in a special mood that Chazal felt. And Shabbos is that the time that even though Shabbos is not a time necessarily of simcha, usually we say Yontif is a time, but the poskim that say that Shabbos also is a time of simcha, that's what the Munkach Rebbe would always be makpid to eat meat on Shabbos. We usually do that too, to eat meat on Shabbos, because the pasuk says uviyom simchaschem in Parshas Bahaloscha, and the Sifrei says Eilu HaShabbosos. Eilah Shabbosos. That an Indian to one of my Talmidim from Seattle, his Sephardic Talmud from Seattle, said in Seattle for lunch, the minig is to have milchiks for lunch, but most people don't have that minig, right? We have fleishiks, because Shabbos is that time that we have the hisoros to get the. The Emunah Bashem. It means a certain, put you in a certain frame of mind to get, to have Emunah Bashem, to have Isoris. So we start the Shabbos with Kiddush. And in fact, one of my Talmidim was pointing out this week in Shir that Rabbi Harari is pointing out and others that the Rambam Shita is that you should have a Koshal Yayin every meal. Even by Shal Shuris. Koshal Yayin. You see, in the Hasidic circles, they have Hashem Shudas, and they make a Bor Pirag Ofen in the middle of, I don't have that minig, maybe, but there is a minig like that. And it's the Rambam. It's the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita is that you should have a kosher yayin by all three meals. Okay, whatever it is, the Shabbos should always give us a Soros. So I wish everyone a good Shabbos, and we're coming near Purim, so Mor Pi HaGafen is something that's on our mind, and then after that is going to be Pesach, where for Maisa I have more wine at the Pesach Seder than I have at the Purim Suda. You know, that's usually comes out that way. But okay, you should all be like Rav Nachman of Breslov of Mitzvah Gedolah Lios B'Simcha Tamid. So we should all be B'Simcha, especially in these hard times of COVID. We should still have the Simchas HaMitzvahs, and Bez Hashem, you should all be well. A good Shabbos and a Kol Tov.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay, Kol Tov.
Be well. Bye-bye.